go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline. It is Justin Wells of Inside Texas, InsideTexas.com, at JustinWells2424 on Twitter.
And Chad, we need to thank Justin because he helped provide some material for our 12:30 segment today. I was discussing what we were going to talk about on today's show, and I mentioned having him lament what went down with his Dallas Mavs over the weekend, and he was like, yeah, I wish I hadn't predicted it on the show last week, and then he mentioned something about what Donnie Nelson had said about Luka, and I hadn't heard this just yet. So I went and found the audio. We, of course, played it. And Justin, are you as confused as we are with what the heck Donnie Nelson was trying to say about his superstar in that end-of-season interview?
You know, you've heard of these things called backhanded compliment. It came off as a backhanded insult. Don't question Luka Doncic's desire and his ability to get players involved. He was participating in 60 to 70% of the total scoring in every game of that series. And to question his demeanor and his maturity in talking about Porzingis and the rest of the team, I thought that quote was very damning. And I'm just thankful that Luka is in such a good place with Dallas and with Mark Cuban that Supermax is going to get signed. And Luka's going to play for the Mavericks for a long time. But Donnie's getting a little old. And I don't know if he needs to go hang out with his dad in the Bahamas and get under a nice shade tree with a margarita or something. But don't take backhanded shots at your 22-year-old superstar.
Where do we sign up for that trip? Because I'd like to go hang out with Don Nelson with a margarita in one hand, a joint in the other, and talk some basketball for a few hours.
That's heaven. That's, if I had a make-a-wish, that'd be my wish.
That'd be it. And let Don Nelson pick what we eat. Like, let's just do it. Let's do whatever he wants to do.
Yeah.
It was strange, Justin. I'll admit, at the beginning of it, as a Mavs fan, I didn't quite understand what the big deal was. And then I listened to it a few times, and I thought, well, wait a second. Why would you say it that way? Why would you say it that way? Why would you even kind of head the – who do you think he's trying to protect? Is he trying to protect lesser players, or ultimately is he trying to protect the front office?
I think he's trying to protect – the psyche of the other players.
Wow.
I think Porzingis is in a very poor place confidence-wise as an NBA basketball player. I mean, if you're 7'3" and you're making $100 million, you should probably score more than 6 or 7 points a game. You should probably grab more than 3 rebounds a game, and you should probably be somewhat effective on the defensive end at some point. But Porzingis isn't even the biggest tall guy on their team. Boban had more production and did more for that program. I think he was just trying to help the psyche of the other teammates and probably some of the front office, because since Luka Doncic was drafted, they haven't necessarily put the best pieces around him. Now, give them credit. They went after KP, the unicorn. They wanted to try to pair him with Luka, and that was a good chance. But we've seen kind of what KP's going to be the last 2 years. I don't know if there's going to be much difference from that. So at the end of the day, Donnie just needs to just be cool and chill, because Luka's going to have a lot of input on this roster, and those two guys need to be on the same page pronto.
All right, last Mavs question before we turn to UT football recruiting, I promise. But are you done with Porzingis? Are you ready for the team to move on from him? A lot of Mavs fans are.
It's so easy to say that, Trey. I want to say yes, but I'm not, because I still see that talent. I've seen him go 30 and 16 in a game in the regular season. When he finds spots, he can't get so fixated on just shooting threes. You're a big man. If there was a camp he could take to rough him up, to get him tough, to let him understand that you're going to have to be in the paint a little bit, throw some of those elbows, get physical, because that's what they need from a guy like that, not just an ability to shoot the ball from long range. Yeah, you can bring you're not going to bring a postman out to the three-point line just because KP is shooting threes. They're going to sag off, and eventually he's going to miss, and eventually it's going to be transition offense. I'm not done with KP, but they do need to find a role, and he needs to find some confidence.
Did you say, is there a camp he could go to? Is that like when I was growing up? Is it the Pete Newell camp? Is that where they used to send the centers? He needs a little bit of that?
I went to the Don Eddy camp for shooters. I I never got the Pete Newell camp. I wanted to go to the Bill Walton camp.
There you go.
Apparently, it's similar to the Don Nelson camp. So, you know how that goes.
Ah, gotcha. I gotcha. We're talking with Justin Wells, Inside Texas. Check out InsideTexas.com for all your Longhorn stuff. We got 87 days till opening kickoff. Justin, let's start with your reaction to the Keelan Robinson transfer. Obviously, the Longhorns had done some work on the defensive side of the ball. What did you think of this one? Adding a guy to a running back room that clearly has a big dog already in it.
You know, you've got that big dog, but if you've covered Texas over the last few years, you've noticed the depth chart in the running back room has been lacking. I remember a couple fall camps ago where at one point all four or five scholarship running backs were hurt. And I don't know if Texas has ever actually recovered from that. Yes, Bijan is the guy. Everyone knows that, including Keelan Robinson, the newcomer out of he's out of Washington, D.C., but he played at Alabama for a year. This is a big get. When Sark and his guys got to Texas, the one thing they wanted to inject in this program was speed. And not just the guys that were already there. They need to bring in, like, separational speed, generational speed. And they did that when they were able to get Xavier Worthy he got out of his NIL with Michigan. He transfers. He's going to be with the program. You add Keelan Robinson, who is another guy that's just an absolute burst once he hits the hole. This is what this team needs. This team needs speed. We've seen it in the last 2 years, the lack of speed at running back and wide receiver. There's some big guys. There's some athletic guys, but you need game-changing speed. And if you go back and watch Alabama last year, everyone talks about, well, if I had an offensive line that big and a quarterback that good and a defense that good, it's easy for these guys to get open. Bull. Jalen Waddell, Devontae Smith, Henry Ruggs. You know what they all have in common? They can go. And that's exactly what Sark is bringing to this program. When you add an Xavier Worthy, he can go. Bringing a Keelan Robinson, who's got 3 years of eligibility, into a running back room that needed some depth, it's a big get. That's the same as signing a four-star talented tailback out of high school and having him come in for 3 years. I think this, you know, they brought in a lot of great players off the transfer portal. And to me, I think they really need to shore up the defense, and they did that with guys like Ray Thornton and Ben Davis and Ovi. But adding Keelan Robinson, that's another dimension to this offense that it's kind of sorely lacking. And if that means he can get a little bit of gadget back, if he can line up in some slot, if he can do some kick return, it doesn't matter. You're getting more speed on the field, and Sarkisian says there's no equalizer for speed. It's the ultimate. There's a reason he says all gas, no brakes. Keelan Robinson wakes up with that tattooed on his chest.
Justin, for a while there, it was all gas, no breaks, and no official visits. But that all changed on June 1st, and last weekend was kind of that first wave. I was reading some of y'all's notes there at Inside Texas about what had happened. Obviously, we'll invite people to go to InsideTexas.com and check out those in their entirety. But give me an overlook on this. That first weekend, how did Sark and the crew do?
You know, that first weekend, I think every college staff in the country is completely exhausted because they went 16 months without leaving campus, and now all of a sudden they can take off and they can see guys and they can bring guys on campus. I like that Texas came with only a handful in the first weekend because it can be overwhelming. Over the next three weekends, there's going to be a myriad of kids that come in and out, and we'll talk about that more and more. But this first weekend, it kind of had an East Texas swing to it. Texas High edge backer Derek Brown came in. Tremendous trip. You know, it really overwhelmed him. Everything top to bottom, from how much they care about the players to NIL, that name, image, and likeness presentation that Texas is giving these prospects is absolutely killing. These guys have had this thing planned out so long, and there's going to be so many opportunities for student-athletes at the University of Texas to be able to profit off their likeness. That's a big deal. Derek Brown loved that. The Texarkana edge guy, he's about 6'4", 215, 220. He's one that Jeff Choate's a big fan of. This is a guy that can come in and make a difference. When he's got Oklahoma, he's got Texas A&M, he's got these other schools coming after him. I think Texas separated from the pack with this first weekend. Another guy, Jeremy Patton, he's an inside linebacker out of Tennehaw. And when you look up Tennehaw, it's a little 2A school. There might be, I don't know, 60 or 70 kids in the entire school. It's a little bitty place, but they produce some plus athletes. Over the years, about every 3 or 4 years, we see guys from that school going Division I, going Power Five, because there's always a couple plus athletes in that region. Jeremy Patton is that dude. 6'2", 215, 220 range, can probably get to 230, 235, 240, play that inside backer spot. This was a big thing for him because he's got Michigan coming up this weekend. Then he's going to hit Baylor the weekend after next. Texas needed to lay a good foundation in this recruitment, and they absolutely did. They answered all the right questions. He fell in love with it. And you got to like a kid that shows up to his official visit wearing that school's jersey. My man came in wearing a Texas jersey, and I think that gave the coaches a little snicker. They like that. They like that attitude from Patton, and I think they came off as the pole position leader with Patton. DeAnthony Gatson, big-time running back, about 5'10", 5'11", probably 205, 210 out of Newton. He came in, had a great time. Trevante Citizen, this is one really talented young tailback, about 6 foot, 217 out of Lake Charles College Prep in Lake Charles, Louisiana. He's in LSU territory. It's going to be tough pulling him out of there, but Stan Drayton did a tremendous job. They were really good with the family. That was another big guy. And then I think the biggest move, if there was one guy that really moved the needle, it has to be junior Tuihalamaka. That's the outside linebacker out of California. This guy came in, and he entered the visit with a kind of a soft knowing that he liked Notre Dame probably a little bit more than the others. I think Texas evened it out this weekend. They did a tremendous job. I want to give Jake Lange a ton of credit. When it comes to bringing in some of these guys off the West Coast, he relates to so many different people in so many different ways, and I think he deserves a ton of credit for how that visit went as well. And so, I mean, that's four guys, and just imagine. I mean, this weekend is junior day on top of some other guys coming in for visit. There's going to be 30 or 40 guys on there. Next weekend is going to have another 30 or 40 guys, your main guys, a lot of the commits, a lot of your big targets. And then that last weekend is going to be heavy when you're talking about Bryce Anderson and those guys coming in for that final OV of June. We're just getting started. This is the first weekend of a very, very long month. But the Texas staff showed what we kind of thought they had. This is a relationship-based group. They're going to preach family. They're going to preach togetherness. And it's not like other colleges don't say that. It's not like they don't preach that. But you get the sense when it's real and when it's not real. And there's just something about Steve Sarkisian that comes off. It's real and genuine. Jeremy Patton told me personally, he said Sark at least a couple times pulled him to the side for a half hour and just spoke one-on-one about life, about his family. They didn't even talk about football. Patton had no idea when they were going to talk about football. It was about his future and what they could do for him and his family in the program. To me, that speaks volumes. And I know after this first weekend, there's some recruiting fatigue, guys. These players, they're hitting camps everywhere. I was at a camp in SMU with 2,000 players and 400 college coaches. It was like speed dating the recruiting version. It was insane. And we're going to see three more weeks of that because, like I said, these guys haven't been able to do their jobs. These coaches have been just yearning to leave campus and go build these relationships and find these guys to fill in for their program. These players have wanted to come see these schools. They are tired of Zoom. You find me a 2022 prospect that likes Zoom, you found it all because it's wearing on them. But these relationships are going to be big for this staff. I think they really set the foundation for what their sales pitch is going to be in this first weekend. And from the guys I spoke to and from what we gathered at Inside Texas, it was really good top to bottom.
Okay, amongst this weekend's visitors, as pretty much every Texas fan is aware now at this point, it does include the latest in the Manning legacy to likely make a big-time impact at the college and probably at the pro level at some point, Arch Manning. So what are your feelings on Arch Manning and where Texas is with that recruitment?
We'll start with the player. Quinn Ewers is probably the best high school quarterback I've ever seen. Kyler Murray's in that conversation. Arch Manning's probably going to creep into that conversation as well. I predict this is probably going to be the most publicized recruitment of our lifetime. I think to this point, it's going to get nuts. And I know the Manning family are going to be very they're going to be very, you know, judicious with their with what they say, where they go, what they do. Very pragmatic. They want an offensive-based system. Arch is he's legit. It's not just a name. He's a big kid. We're talking about a kid that's around 6'3", 205, 210 in that range. He's already a big kid. He's got a good arm. He has all those intangibles you could ever want. He was at Clemson over the weekend and absolutely, you know, showed off for Dabo Swinney and those guys. They were blown away by his ability. Arch Manning is not just a name. He is really good. He's actually already broke a few of his uncle's records. They all attended Isidore Newman High School in New Orleans, and he's already broke some of their records before he's taken a junior snap. He's legit. The next part, does Texas have a shot at this guy? Absolutely. And 6 months ago, I didn't like their chances. Today, yes. This is a bunch that understands what they want. And what they want is an offensive-minded coach that's got NFL experience, that has experience putting quarterbacks into the NFL. On the short list of the best in the country is Steve Sarkisian. So they've already started establishing that. Give A.J. Milwee a ton of credit, the quarterback coach. He's done a great job getting in there and establishing that relationship. This is going to be big this weekend. Arch is coming in with the Texas commit for 2023, the number one running back in the state, Reuben Owens. He's coming in also with DeSoto, four-star wide receiver Jonte Cook. Cook is going to be one of the best wide receivers in the country for his class as well. Those three guys have kind of bonded, that quarterback, running back, receiver, that threesome. They've kind of gotten close to each other. They're literally going to come in on Friday and hang out together for 3 days. That is huge if you're a Texas fan. You want to soak up as much of that as possible. At the end of the day, there's not going to be a lot of teams in this. I mean, Arch may have 40 offers, but there might be five teams that have a legitimate shot at him. And right now, Texas is squarely in the mix. You're going to also have Clemson. It's hard not to fall in love when you go up there and kind of get caught up in Sweeney's good old boy scene that he has going up there. Alabama is obviously going to be in the conversation. Of course, they don't have Sark now, so Bill O'Brien's going to have to do a little selling, but Alabama sells itself, so I'm not certainly worried about that. And then the other schools, it's really up in the air. Ole Miss, we've been told, may not really be involved, even though, you know, his uncle and his dad attended Ole Miss. I mean, his grandfather played at Ole Miss, Archie. His dad, Cooper, played at Ole Miss until he couldn't play his freshman year, but he attended Ole Miss. We kind of thought that would be the de facto school, but what we're understanding, we don't think Ole Miss is going to be really a factor here. LSU is another one that we're not real sure they're going to be a factor. And usually it's tough to pull talented kids. I don't think there's a state that holds kids stronger than LSU. I mean, Louisiana, those kids are born and raised purple and gold. But something about the Mannings in LSU just doesn't always seem to jive. And that's why there's never been guys that went before. And I don't know where they stand with Arch right now. And so it's going to be really interesting. This is a big weekend for him. He's going to throw in front of the coaches and during one of the camps. They're going to get to see all the sights and do all the things. It'll be the fanciest unofficial visit you've ever heard of. And I am just so eager to talk to these guys as soon as they leave on Sunday to get their first their taste, their impressions of what UT has to offer. And that way we can get a better sense of where Texas stands with Arch moving forward.
Recruiting fired back up and feeling normal and feeling big time with a guy like Arch Manning coming to town. That's Justin Wells, Inside Texas. Check out InsideTexas.com. He's at JustinWells2424 on Twitter. And if you're on a Mavericks fan board and somebody's flipping out and swearing at Donnie Nelson, it might be Justin there too. Justin, appreciate the time, brother. We'll talk to you next week.
Nothing but love, guys.
Good. Thanks, brother.
Good stuff there.
As we bid adieu to Justin, I need to let people know, Chad, that next Wednesday, Justin will not be on. One of his IT brethren will be.
Okay.
That's because Justin's going to be in town the next weekend to cover the UT recruiting event. He's going to hop in studio with me from 12 to 2 on Friday.
Next Friday. Oh, very cool. Very cool.
When you're on vacation.
What?
Big things on tap for next week with you gone.
There you go. That's good. That is good to know.
It includes Joe Cook. Let me go ahead and run things down for you real quick.
Go ahead. Okay.
Joe Cook, mm-hmm. 12 to 2 on Monday.
Right.
Followed by what I think is going to be a conversation on why drunkenness has helped us evolve as humans.
Ooh, I like that conversation.
Tuesday is going to be Bucky from 12 to 1. I'm asking Bucky to stick around for part of my chat with Jeff Ward.
Oh, I'd love to hear those two cut it up.
Right, exactly. That'd Hopefully nice. Jeff hangs out for the entire 1 o'clock hour, and then TBD at 2 o'clock. On Wednesday, Zay is going to be co-hosting with me from 12 to 2. And from 2 to 3, I'm bringing back the Austin Restaurant and Food Roundtable from a year ago.
Okay.
With Jesse Cape from the Austin Chronicle and Matthew Odom from the Statesman. We're going to talk about the state of the food industry here in town. I can't wait to have that conversation. Thursday, assuming that he can do Thursday instead of Friday, I absentmindedly asked him to do Friday last night, and he said yes, but it will be Kevin Dunn joining me
from
12 to 2. I may see about reviewing Commando, since he's the only person on the planet I know that actually still cites that movie.
Not even Arnold does.
Right. So we'll go there, and then I think there's going to be a really good conversation on physical fitness from 2 to 3. And then on Friday, it'll be Justin Wells from 12 to 2,
okay.
And that'll be followed by a conversation with a cognitive scientist who was a part of the Obama White House administration, just to talk about all things psychology.
Very nice.
I'm looking forward to probing that conversation a whole lot more. I'm recording it earlier in the week, but you can check it out on Friday from 2 to 3.
Sounds like a good show. I don't think you're going to miss me at all.